Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bibles and open them to the book of Mark, the 7th chapter. And I'd like to dismiss the children at this time to Children's Church. And I want us to, as we look at this Bible study, I want us to think about Jesus' love. We learn about his love. Now, in the book of Genesis, Satan comes to Eve. You remember that passage where the serpent in Genesis chapter 3, he comes to Eve and he says, "Eve, has God said that you cannot eat from every tree that is in the garden?" And Eve says, "Well, we can eat of all the trees in the garden, but of the tree that's in the midst of the garden or the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it," she said, although God didn't say that, "lest you die." You shall not eat of it lest you die. And then here's what Satan said. Satan said, "God knows that in the day that you eat of that tree, you shall be like God, knowing good and evil." So here was the message of Satan. The message of Satan was that God, the message of Satan to Eve was that God is holding out on you, Eve. God knows that you'll be like God. You'll be like him if you'll just disobey him. You can be your own God. And can I suggest to you that that is the dilemma of the human race? Will you be God or will you let God be God? That is the dilemma that you face. Satan wants us to think that God is holding out on us. This is what he told Eve in the garden. And he says to her, he just wants to ruin your freedom to do what you want to do. He wants to control you. But if you don't allow him, then you will be God. So the question is, and here's the question I hope to answer, does God really love me? Does God really love you? Does God really love mankind? And does he really want the best? Or is he, as Josh McDowell used to say, is God the cosmic killjoy? He's up in heaven and he's just looking for a way that he can just put his foot on us and go like this. Or does he really love us? That's the question. Does God really love me? And does he want the best, resulting in my ultimate good? Or should I go my own way and take my chances? We get a real good glimpse into the motive and the actions of Jesus in this story of the man who is deaf and has a speech impediment. Let's suppose, listen folks, if we don't get this, if we don't understand the motives of the love of Jesus Christ, if we miss it, the stakes are very high. So I'm praying that today it's settled forever. As we look at the love of Jesus Christ, I want you to look at Mark chapter 7 and verse 31, and we're just going to read down to verse 37. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from mine. It says, "Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then he brought to him one who was deaf." Excuse me. "Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed, and he said, 'Ephphatha,' that is, 'be opened.' Immediately," and that's that word straightway. In the old King James Bible, that's the word straightway. In yours, it may be translated immediately. "Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, 'He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak.'" Now these verses right here, these seven verses of Scripture are packed full of truth. And I want us to get it today as we think about the love of Jesus Christ, Jesus' love. We find four characteristics. Okay, here's number one. We find that Jesus' love is for all. Now, I want you to know that Jesus has left Israel at this time. Matter of fact, when we had the story last week of the woman whose daughter had been demon-possessed and Jesus healed that little girl, remember, that woman had great faith. Jesus was already in a place of the Gentiles. He was already out of Israel. Now, I wish I had a picture for everyone in here, but if you just imagine the Sea of Galilee right here, my hand being right here, all right? Judea is in the south of Israel, all right? Here's the Sea of Galilee, and that's in the region of Galilee, okay? The south is Judea. Right now, Jesus has been ministering up in Galilee, but when you go north of Galilee, you go into what is modern-day Lebanon. And this was an area, the Syrophoenician area. He says in our scripture, it says that he departed from the region of Tyre and Sidon. So he had gone up. He kept going north. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus went up into the Gentile region. You know why? Because, listen to me, all throughout all of recorded history, the history that God has given us in the Old Testament, the history we know of in the New Testament, God has always had a vision that all peoples of the world would know him. Amen. Not just the Jews. Now we know the scripture says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles," or to the Greeks. That's exactly right. In Scripture, there's basically two categories of people. There are the Jews and then there are the Gentiles. I'm a Gentile, and I'm so thankful that Jesus had a heart for me. I'm so thankful that his gospel continued through the line of people who came to know Christ, and they led somebody else and discipled them, and they led somebody else and discipled them, and then old Bill Parrott, who was a Sunday school teacher in Jacksonville, kept on knocking on my door. They kept on coming. Why? Because they knew that the gospel was for everyone, and they knew it was for this little old red-headed kid that had come every once in a while. That they had their name, and they had his name, and they knew he lived in the Willowick Apartments on Barnes Road in Jacksonville, and they kept on coming. They kept on knocking. In this passage, we realize that the love of Jesus is for all. It's for everyone. He'd gone up north. He'd gone up north. And then he came. Boy, this is really advanced technology, isn't it? This is the Sea of Galilee, my hand. Okay? I'm trying to demonstrate this. You following me? Okay, here's Judea down here. Here's Galilee up here. All right, that's where Capernaum is. Here's the Sea of Galilee right here. He goes up north, up to Tyre and Sidon, even higher north up into modern-day Lebanon. Then he comes around into Gentile land, and he comes to a place called Decapolis. You see that at the end of verse 31. That's on the other end. All right, here's the Sea of Galilee. He comes around on the Gentile side of the Sea of Galilee in a place called Decapolis. This was known as Decapolis. It was 10 cities that are in that particular region. And the Lord had a heart for those cities. And so he's in Gentile country. I wanted you to know about that because it's very important. We realize that Jesus' love is for all. Now, he's going to end up back in Judea, which is where Jerusalem is, which is where all the little cities that are right around Jerusalem are found. That's in Judea. You can study this in your maps in the back of your Bible if you want to do that, okay? But in Judea, he's about to go to Judea in about Mark chapter 10, and he's there until he's crucified. So he's been in Israel, but ladies and gentlemen, here's the message. The gospel is for all, and Jesus demonstrated it because Jesus went outside of Israel. He took the gospel to people that were not just like him, okay? So I want you to notice this. Do you realize that this is not something new? Do you realize that God, when he called Abraham, listen to this. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you." By the way, God is always in the business of moving people out of their comfort zone. Just get ready. The more you start following Jesus, the more you surrender your life to Christ, the more you say, "Jesus, I'm yours, lock, stock, and barrel," then watch out, because Jesus may move you. He may put you in transit somewhere, okay? He says to Abram, "Go to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you." And then here is the Old Testament missions mandate. Now, those that study missions and those that study evangelism, they know that this idea of making disciples among all peoples was not just a New Testament idea. Are you with me? Do you realize that from the beginning of time, it was on the heart of God that all the peoples of the world would know about Jesus? This is not, ladies and gentlemen, I know you know this, but let me just say it. This is not just an American thing. This is not just a thing for North Central. This is for all the peoples of the world, because here's the Old Testament missions mandate. "And in you," he says to Abram, "and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." It was God's mandate that Abram would become, and his descendants would become Israel. They would be the Jews. They would be those whom God had chosen. But he had chosen them that they might take the message of God's love and the message that God wanted to know all people, and they would take that to all the people of the world. Now, we're going to run out of time, so I'm not going to read them all, but I want you to write these verses down. That same call was given to Isaac, Abram's son, in Genesis chapter 26, verses 2 through 4. Isaac had a son named Jacob, and that same calling, that mission's mandate, was given to Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, verses 13 and 14. And then we find all over the Old Testament references that God intended to know all the peoples of the earth. In Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22, it talks about that all men will look to Jesus. The scripture says, "Look to me and be saved." This is the Old Testament. This is not a New Testament passage. This is an Old Testament passage. It says, "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no other." In Malachi chapter 1, an Old Testament prophet, an Old Testament book, Malachi chapter 1, verse 11, it says this, "For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down," that was a chorus, a song at one time, right? "From the rising of the sun, even to its going down, listen, my name shall be great among the Gentiles," among the Gentiles. "In every place, incense shall be offered in my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." I love that phrase, the Lord of hosts. That means God's in heaven and he has a host of angels all around him. I mean, myriads of angels. He is the Lord of hosts. And he said, "I will be that God to all the nations." In Hosea chapter 2, verse 23, it says this, "Then I will show her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people," who were not my people, "You are my people." And they shall say, "You are my God." Hey, look, I'm not of Jewish descent. If the gospel was just for the Jews, I'd be over here lost. I don't know what I'd be doing. God called me to preach, and I'm so grateful that he did. But the reason that I have a message is that Jesus changed me, a Gentile. And ladies and gentlemen, he wants to do that in people all over the world. He wants to, every people group. Hey, when Jesus was born, even at his birth, Simeon, you remember the old man Simeon, who did not want to die until he saw baby Jesus. He did not want to die until he saw the Messiah. After he saw the Messiah, the scripture says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." Listen, it says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So even when Jesus was a baby, it was clear he was the Savior of the world to the Gentiles. Matthew 28, what did he say to us? Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations or all the people groups of the world. Every people group of the world needs to know that Jesus is real. And so Matthew 28, Jesus commissioned his followers. You know what? In Acts chapter 2, what did they do? All the people had come to Jerusalem and Peter preached, and all the peoples from all around the world had gathered there, and they heard the gospel in their own language. Folks, this is not a new concept just with the New Testament. From the very beginning, God wanted Israel to be the mouthpiece, the example to the whole world. And then listen to this, and just concluding kind of a summary of some passages here. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, it says this, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." So in Revelation, all peoples of all nations, of every language will be worshiping. Folks, listen. I tell you, this thing of getting involved with internationals, we are so strategically blessed by God to be in a city where the people from all over the world are coming to our town. And they're coming here and they say, we would like to become friends with some people from America. I heard a very sad story that an international once came to this country and he packed a suitcase with nothing but presence. And he spent all of his time here studying, and he studied, and he went back, and as he got back, a friend said to him, "Hey, this suitcase looks the same that it did when you left months ago. Why is it? What is this all about?" He said, "These were gifts that I wanted to have to give to families that invited me to know them when I was in America." And he said, "But no one invited me." So he brought back all of his treasures from his land, and he never had the opportunity to get to know someone. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, I'm telling you, the heart of Jesus is with people. The heart of Jesus is for all. Not just for us, but for all. So I want to encourage you. Hey, listen, I'll just tell you this. I'm going to say this because my daughter's here, Catherine from Jacksonville. They're here somewhere. Well, they're right here. Okay. Catherine went to Zambia when she was a teenage girl. She came back from Zambia, and they had to go out camping. Mr. Brandon took her. It's his fault. But anyway, they went out this remote area. Josh and Amy, who have spoken here, they were stationed originally in Zambia, and they said you had to fly to Lusaka. Now, I've been to Lusaka, but I didn't go where they went. They went to a place called Luingu, and they flew into Lusaka, and they drove 10 hours on a rough road in a truck and bouncing all around everything, and they got there, and then Josh says, "Now, part of our work is we've got to go out to this remote place, and we've got to drive as long as the trail goes. Then we got to hike. And we got to hike about a day in, and we're going to spend the night." And they say it wasn't the end of the earth, but you could see the end of the earth from there, okay? And so they drove as long as the trail would go, and they stopped, and they got out, and they backpacked all this stuff in, and they were spending the night there. And I'm sorry. Catherine got back. She said, "Dad, I laid there on that camping that night." And of course, you know from being in the, you know from looking up into the heavens and seeing the stars, if it's really dark, boy, the stars are just, they just light up, don't they? I mean, they're just, you know, so vibrant. She said that we were laying there and it was so dark. And she said, we were looking up in the sky, and she said, "Dad, I looked up in the sky." She said,
It was in that moment that I knew God loved these people. God loved these people. The gospel is for all. Now, let me ask you this. What part will you play? What part will you play in getting the gospel to all the people of the world? We got to go. We got to minister. We got to do everything we can do. I encourage you, if you didn't sign up to be on that Global Connections team, then you do it. You leave the sheet on your chair. We'll get it. Or you bring it back there to me. But you sign up to be a part of making a difference in somebody's life from another nation. Can I tell you this about God's love, Jesus' love? Don't forget this. It's for all. Amen. That's number one. Number two, can I tell you this? It's for you. Now, Jesus, in verses 32 through 35, he talks about this man who was deaf and he had a speech impediment. Verse 32, and they brought him the one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside. Now this is, if you want to go back and look, in Matthew chapter 15, we realize that there were a lot of people getting healed. This particular story is only told in Mark. But it's a part of a bigger story where Jesus was healing everyone. They were bringing people to Jesus like crazy, and Jesus was healing them. He was touching their life. But then they brought this deaf man, and he had a speech impediment. He could not speak. And you know what Jesus did? This is such a loving thing that he did. The Bible says that the scripture says in verse 33, and he took him aside from the multitude. Okay? He took this man aside, showing concern and love for the individual, okay? By the way, in these Bible days, someone who could not hear and someone who had a speech impediment was an outcast. He was a person who would not have been received. He would have been thought of as unclean, and Jesus took him and he touched him. Now, there are four signs. There are four signs that we have here that Jesus did that showed amazing love to this individual. To this individual. Jesus not only ministered to the masses, he did. But you know what Jesus did to this man? This man who was an outcast. Jesus said, wait a minute. The crowd, there was chaos going on. Jesus took this man aside. Okay? He took this man aside. And he did four things. Now, they didn't necessarily have sign language like we have now, but this was Jesus' sign language to this man. He communicated love to the individual. And I am appropriating this to, he's communicating love to you and to me. So here were his signs. Number one, excuse me, he put his fingers in his ears. Basically, he's saying to this person, he's saying, look, He put his fingers in his ears and he's saying, I'm gonna do something about this. He goes, I understand you're not an outcast. He communicated love to that individual. The second thing he did is he spat and then he touched his tongue in the same way. It was a statement of saying, I understand your situation. Then it says he looked up to heaven. By looking up to heaven, you know what he was basically saying to that man in sort of the way he was playing it out, role-playing to this individual? He was saying, let me tell you, what I'm about to do is coming down from God. He said, this is coming down from God. So he says he was communicating that what is about to happen was from heaven. And so the Bible says in the passage in verse 34, then looking up to heaven, and then the Bible says he sighed. And that word is an expression of sympathy. It's an expression of compassion. It's an expression of tenderness and strong emotion. And then he says this word, Ephatha. He says, be opened. One word. He speaks one word. And in verse 5, straightway or immediately, verse 35, his ears were opened and the impediment of the tongue was loosed and he spoke. This is a very interesting word. He spoke plainly. That word means to make straight. God healed this man's speech. As a matter of fact, Larry, I was thinking about you, Larry Waldrop. Larry is doing a fellowship in orthopedics, right? Okay, I was hoping I had that right. He was doing a fellowship in orthopedics. By the way, I got a shoulder problem. Did you see me after? But anyway, in orthopedics over at university, and we're about to lose them. But this word where it says he spoke plainly is where we get the word orthopedics from. It means to make straight. What does an orthopedic doctor do? You go over here to the Dr. Powell, the hand specialist man, Dr. Parr. Some of you guys have been to some of these people. And what do? They try to line up your bones and make them straight. The Bible says that when Jesus healed this man, he spoke plainly to make straight. So Jesus communicated love to the individual. And I just translate that to say this to you. Look at me with your eyes. Jesus' love is not only for all. It is. But can I tell you something? It's for you. And it's for every individual in your life that God is using you to touch. You take the time. If the God of this universe would take this man who was deaf aside from the crowd and look him in the eye and do sign language to communicate his love, there's some people we ought to take aside and we ought to look them in the eye and we ought to tell them Jesus Christ loves you. Man, I'm so glad. Man, I was in a big meeting one time. I mean, there were hundreds of young people there the night I got saved, but it was as if Jesus was talking just to me. And he said, Calvin, I'm calling you to know me. I'm so grateful that I had that sense. If you're here today and you have a sense that God is calling you individually, hey, that's not an accident. That's the way God operates. He speaks to people individually. So we know it's for all. We know his love is for you. It's also for others. Now, can you imagine this man all of a sudden was speaking plainly and God says to him, don't tell anybody. I mean, you can't speak and all of a sudden the Lord loosens your tongue and you can talk. And then look at verse 36. It says, then he commanded them that they should tell no one. That's got to be frustrating to that man, right? As a matter of fact, we know from Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 22, we know that Jesus said, I have to suffer some things. I have to go to the cross and be buried and raised from the dead. That's why I don't want you to tell anyone, because I've got to do some things before it gets so chaotic that they try to make me a political leader. And so in the book of Mark, he's telling people, don't tell anybody, don't tell anybody, don't tell anybody. In 1:32, in 1:44, in 3:12, in 5:43, in 8:26. And then here as well. And then in verse 36, it says this, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. The gospel was for them to take to others. It's for others. They couldn't be quiet about it. It's sad that then Jesus said, tell no one, and they couldn't help it. Now we're commanded to go and we won't. Jesus Christ told this man, do not tell anyone. But his life was so transformed, he couldn't help it. And we have been given the greatest gift of life. We have been given salvation for all eternity. And Jesus has said, now, I'm turning you loose, church. Go into all the world and make disciples. And we are mute about it. There's something not right about that, folks. And so we see that it is for others. So his love is for all. His love is for you, the individual. His love is for others. And then here's the last thing, and I'll be done. His love is, and I love this, his love is for good. In verse 37, it says, and they were astonished. That word for astonished means they were literally blown away. It means above all measure, super abundantly is what that means. They were astonished beyond measure, saying, this is, we even had a, our last year's Christmas dinner theater was titled, this would have been a good place to have gotten the scripture from, because here's what they said, he has done all things well. Wasn't that our title, All Is Well? He has done all things well. Now here's what that word well means. That word well means all things have been done rightly or correctly or appropriately. And then here's the message of it, that it is to your benefit. Hey, can I tell you this? You say, oh, listen, Satan's telling me God's holding out on me, taking away my freedom. Can I tell you this? The most exciting life you could ever live, the most joyous life you could ever live, the life that would benefit you more than any life you could ever imagine. I don't care how much money you would have. I don't care how much amusement you would have. Man, we're an amusement crazed society. You know what amusement means? The word muse is a Greek word that means to think, and you put an I in front, it means to not think. Amusement means to not think, and that's what we want to do with all of our life. We want to go to parks and go to. Now I'm not. I've been okay. So I'm not. I'm just saying we want to go places we don't want to think. Can I tell you this? You have never lived. You have never lived until you realize that Jesus has all things well on your behalf. What does it say? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. The safest place on planet Earth is right in the center of God's will. You hold on to Jesus. I was thinking about that hymn, The Love of God. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels' song. Listen to this verse. It says, could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. Then it says, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. If the ocean was the ink, and every one of us took a quill, and we just kept filling it, and we just kept writing about the love of God, we would drain the ocean dry. All that love was communicated to me as a teenage boy. And I just felt the arms of God come around my life as a teenage boy and gave my life to Jesus. How about you? Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.